the people they want.
Analyze.
So them a call us pirates. Them a call us illegal broadcasters.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
Shout out to my man Bill O'Reilly.
Yes, the slaves had it good. Welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie Mack. I'm joined, as always,
by one, I guess, former slave overseeing, giving good handout and clothing dude, very white guy.
And you're very white indeed. What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah. I'm doing good. I'm better now. Better now that we're podcasting.
Yes, it's good to be podcasting.
Feeds my soul.
Yes. Thank you all for joining us. If you are just joining us for the first time, you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. You can also go to our website, interracialjohn.com. And,
side note, is Stitcher still a thing?
Yes,
I thought Stitcher was going out of business.
No, that was Spreecast.
Oh, I got my S's mixed.
Yes, Stitcher.
My bad.
Lives.
Wait. Just a little bit.
And we'd love feedback. You can leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. And if it's 5 stars, we'll read it here on the air. You can also email us, interracialjohn@gmail.com. And you can just call us. You can pick up your phone, dial 657-JOHNERS. That's 657-JAWNERS. And if it's under 3 minutes and not really nuts, we'll play here on
the air. I thought we'd get more voicemails. 657-JOHNERS. Like, who has a number? They got a number. We got like a branded number. JOHNERS. We got 657. Yeah. It would have been better if it could have been a Philly code.
I think people
are
nervous about their voice.
Maybe. But, you know, speaking of the reviews and 5 stars.
What's that? Uh-oh.
Oh,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Turn your headphones down.
Yeah, tune down.
Here comes my brother.
Down, y'all. Here comes Baby Mac.
One, two, three, four, ain't got shit.
Five stars.
I'm gonna have to get a re-record that shit. Every time I see the like, there's like, goes in a little bit of yellow, but then there's like the red, and then there's just like a bottoms out.
I remember when he sang it, I was like, whoa, that's loud. Because it's all like verberating off the walls down here in the office.
Well, we got 5 stars.
Awesome.
Title of this one's Love Y'all, and it's from C. Yancey. Thank you, C. Yancey.
Hey, C. Yancey.
And it says, hey, Leslie and Drew, I'm so happy I found you guys through the Black Eye Who Tips. Shout out Rod and Ken, Podfather, a 5-star show as well. I second that. I look forward to every show whenever someone offers a lame apology. I give it a score, LOL. Have we had anyone over like a 5? I think our best score is like a 4.
People do not know how to apologize. That much is clear.
I'm sorry. This is Yancey. See Yancey Drew.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Drew, 2 thumbs up on the sound effects.
Oh, Lord. You don't even know. You just made his like year just there.
I've been toning it down a little bit. I'm a little less, I gotta get some new ones. But anyway, Drew, 2 thumbs up on the sound effects. I often find myself saying, God damn it, fucking white people.
Fucking white people.
Yes, success. one person at a time. We're gonna like, all the people are like, you really hate white people. No, I don't. But like, you go around going, God damn it, fucking white people. I do, but I don't hate white people.
Fucking white people.
God damn it, fucking white people. But I love white people. Fucking white people. Thanks to you. Congrats on the 100th episode. I can't wait for the next 100. Well, thank you, CNC.
Thank you so much.
Very much. We appreciate it.
We also got an email.
Ooh.
This one is from Shalanda. Subject, episode 101. Hey, Drew and Leslie, I wanted to let you know I love the show. Thank you. Your chemistry is great. I've been listening for about a year now, and it has been so informative. I live in the Metro Detroit area near Ann Arbor. I feel your pain regarding the skunk smell. My dog was sprayed by a skunk about a week ago, and someone suggested we clean her with baking soda and dish detergent. We did that, and the smell disappeared. Just wanted to drop you guys a line to let you know I appreciate what you do. And
thanks.
Best regards.
Yeah, we did do the baking soda with peroxide and dish detergent.
Yeah, it did work on the dog. Yeah.
But here's the thing. There was like a some of it's in her ears. Like, yes. She got hit so hard in the face.
Oh, God, I mean.
And you can't really, like, scrub the inside
of your
dog's ear.
I swear she was going to kill the skunk. The skunk had every reason to spray her. That's the only thing I will say, like, in the skunk's defense.
Yeah, she's a killer. She's a killer.
She's horrible.
She kills everything.
She will kill
shreds things up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bunnies. Yeah. She doesn't care. She's terrible.
But so it got in her ears, and then I feel like it got good, like it went away. But then if she's outside and she sweats a little bit, yep. Or she gets like damp,
it'll come right back up.
Like if there's like a little bit of rain, yeah. It's like. Ugh.
The thing is, that's what I was telling about the woman who comes to clean it, because we have to tell her, because she's going to know as soon as she wets her.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, oh, why?
Hey, by the way, our dog got skunked.
Got skunked.
Anyways. Right in the fucking face.
There was a
tweet from the Gourmet Goober, and she said, I forgot your review too, so cool.
Oh, sweet. Cool.
It was only like 4 months. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. But so the skunk got me thinking about Michigan here. And shout out to Ann Arbor. You're, you know, in the neck of the woods. I can put up my hand and point to you. But the tagline here is pure Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I don't say it's shit, but like I just keep thinking like pure Michigan fucking skunk smells like burning toxic gas.
Seriously.
Pure Michigan if you fucking love bugs.
Stop.
Pure Michigan if you like sunbathing until 10:30 p.m.
Oh, I'm not kidding. The sun does not go down here.
We went to a concert at the fucking what is that? The Meyer Garden. And I don't know what direction. Like, I'm not into this. Like, east, west, north, south. If anybody knows me, I'm like directionally challenged.
True.
Like, I'd be the geese that like leaves the flock and can't find its way.
You
back.
Literally frequently, if we walk out of somewhere. You walk almost always walk the wrong direction of where we're supposed to be.
Here, listen.
Almost always.
But here's the deal. I'm so bad that I've given up. I've like relented all control of that decades ago. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. I walk in and I walk out. Like, fine, I'll find it. I'll figure it out. No big deal. I'll make do. If I'm by myself, I take a picture of the parking spot and I text it to myself. I literally do that. That's the only way I'll fucking find my shit.
Hilarious.
But otherwise, if I'm with you, I'm like, fuck it. I don't even know shit. I walk out the subway. I'm like, what? Gone. Yeah, so pure Michigan, snow.
Just snow. That's a good one.
Pure Michigan, snow.
Yeah.
I don't know what other taglines would be, but I need something other than pure Michigan.
Because
I hear pure Michigan, I'm like,
Michigan, business first, black people last.
And the other thing, too, is like, people that live here, that like I should say, like white people that live here, they fucking love it. They get like tattoos of the state on them and shit. They're like every like cutout of the state, like images of the state, mitten this and that. Like,
well, it's
like
because it's so Michigan. Shitty, they have to defend it constantly. So then it becomes this pride thing. Absolutely,
like a Cleveland Browns fan.
Exactly, like a Cleveland Browns fan.
I asked you about this, and I haven't really heard a lot, but I heard a few people talking about it, like this weird concept that the GOP is deliberately tanking the presidency so that they have less voter turnout, because less voter turnout gives them a better chance of down-ticket seats that are up on the Democratic side, like to poach seats. Like, basically, if there's a large voter turnout, Democrats will retain a whole dump load of seats.
And what did I tell you? I told you.
Ain't that smart?
None of them are that smart. The amount of gaffes, like guffaws, all of the shit that's been going on, like, I just, no.
Yeah, and when I don't want to say it, it's like being used.
Like, she plagiarized the first lady's speech. You think they did, that's all in somebody's
No, I think that there's this like assumptive that the Koch brothers and some sort of like shadow, like secret under the GOP, like
this is
Illuminati
not trading
GOP.
Places.
So there's some Illuminati GOP.
What are they betting $1 on presidency?
Listen,
Mortimer.
The thing I've read is that they're allowing Trump. Like, Trump's presidency is basically a like, okay, we're giving up. Like, fuck it, let Trump be the president. So all the dumbassery he's done is like, not that they planned his dumbassery, but they allowed him. He's planned purposely to like, oh, let's just punt the presidency so we can try to win the fucking.
So listen.
But listen, I'm not in that context, there's a group of folks that are using that conspiracy theory to then suggest Hillary on the other side is a likely deliberate candidate to have low voter turnout, meaning it should have been somebody else. Yeah.
Presumably. Of course, all roads lead to Bernie. don't you know? And the end of days when we open up, you know, the you know, in fact, that's what was in Marcellus Wallace's briefcase. You know, when they opened it up and it glowed
Bernie's
red,
presidency.
It was fucking Bernie up in there. That's the Holy Grail. It's Bernie. Anything anybody's ever, the Fountain of Youth, follow Bernie. All of that shit. All roads lead to Bernie.
You know what? Yeah, I don't know. And like Nate Silver's not predicting a Trump win. The whole thing is kind of like, I don't know. And like, is that like he doing that to try to like actually deliberately get turnout the other way?
I just think that to be perfectly honest, everything about this election is so not
predictable. Yeah.
I was watching a pundit said something at for once that I was like, hey, that's actually a good point, that this is not going to be a Hillary and the Democrats versus the GOP. It's going to be Hillary and the Democrats versus Donald Trump.
Mm.
And nobody knows what that is, but it, because he does not represent what that used to mean on the other side.
That's true.
So it's going to be kind of weird to see what happens. And I just think because of huge things like that that have already happened.
Unknowns, you know. You're right about that.
It's a lot that's up in the air. So I just don't think they're going to be able to predict anything.
You know, we were watching CNN last night, part of the debate, DNC's convention, and they had all the pundits on, and the one fucktard said, you know, like, about black conservatives, that, you know, common phrase on our side is that they've left the plantation.
Right? You know what? Fuck your side, dude. That's what I'd say to that.
I didn't realize, but that was Jeff Lew Lord.
And yeah.
He is such a fucking, like, shit heel. But the thing that cracked me up was that there was maybe, like, 10 different fucking people up there. Van Jones, like, people that have, like, TV shows and, like, you know, like, they've got all these talent up there.
Yeah.
And they've got names and titles, like, you know, pundit, political analyst, fucking under Lord, Trump supporter.
Which is like, how you want to identify yourself, dude?
That's everything and
that's
nothing.
That's all I need to know.
It's everything and nothing. Just Trump supporter. So I know we've talked about Joffrey and I don't want to do it more.
Oh my God. You guys, this ghost is for real.
So listen, we're sitting on the couch and Beatrice, the problematic white woman, like, and if anyone's ever had a dog, like, we don't have kids, so like, our dogs are like, we you know them. They live with you. They're like extensions of your life, right? So you kind of get to know their habits and ticks, and especially at nine, we call her a problematic white woman because she's just fucking stubborn as fuck.
So stubborn.
She's so stubborn.
It's obscene.
So she's sitting on the couch like she always does. She's got a spot. She's like,
and she'll take your spot if she wants it.
Nice and warm, dude. Like, oh, you heated that shit up? Thank you. So she's laying down, and she's got her head up in a way that's like, the fuck are you doing? Like, that head angle's weird. She's holding her head at a weird angle.
Yeah.
And I follow her eyes, and she's looking right at the motherfucking spot where the phone fucking flipped off the fucking
counter. And the ice cream container.
Like, she's not just looking. She's fucking, like, staring at it.
Yep.
Like, fucking creeping to the point that I had to fucking pause the TV. And you're like, what? I'm like, look at Beatrice. Look at Beatrice. Look at Beatrice. And we're looking at her, and she's just fucking, like bullet eyed. I'm telling you, like, 20-yard stare. And I about 10 minutes before that, you'd said the lights did something.
The lights
have been doing this thing where they get, like, brighter. And listen, I'm not trying to equivocate Joffrey because you know I know now. I'm a believer.
Are you?
I am.
Because you're about to equivocate right now. You're about to equivocate.
LED lights do get brighter once they get warmer.
I understand the mechanism of it, right? But the timing is suspect.
Well, listen. They got brighter and the timing was suspect and I was not trying to equivocate it, but you said, listen, those lights got brighter. We're looking at Beatrice. We're talking about Joffrey. We're staying in that thing. And I'm just
you
like,
stood up. You
I stood up.
You stood
I,
up. We
I stood
were talking
up.
To each other
about Joffrey and the lights and all this stuff. And I'm
everything.
Like, I'm like, I just, you know, I'm really, I don't know. And fucking the lights went
out.
Off.
The light turned off, you guys.
Oh, I fucking bought shit in my pants.
Tears came to my eyes.
You did. You started crying.
I'm not joking. I don't even like talking about it right now.
Started
like
crying.
I'm getting we were standing there looking at each other a foot apart, and you said that, and the light flicked. It just went off, just like that.
Fucking frightened the shit out of me.
Just like that.
Frightened the shit out of me.
Anyways, let's move on, because I don't know. But you guys, this might be, you know, evidence found footage someday of what happens to us here in this house in Grand Rapids.
If you can die of a heart attack and, like, blame it on a ghost, look, make sure that's a possibility. Like, if I'm just dead and it's like a heart attack, you don't have to go all, like, NSA, FBI, nope. CIA. Like,
Joffrey.
What's the music fucking Rod always plays? You don't have to do
that. Won't be fooled again.
Yeah! You don't have to do that. But just be like, listen, he may have had a heart attack from like ghostophagia, ghostophobia, like that. I don't know if that's a fucking thing, but like just
I don't know.
Look into it. That's a possibility.
Check it out.
So I don't know who said this or somebody said this, but like there was a question and I can't remember. I'd love to attribute it to somebody, but I don't know, but I'll pose it to you. Are we living in a time of a generation of white folk, quote unquote, waking up and coming to terms with white?
What
as a
generation?
Race? Just a you know, like a there's a millennials, Generation X. Is there a wide swath of white people that are waking up at any kind of difference than any other period before, or is this just fucking business as usual for whiteness?
I think it's business as usual for whiteness for only one reason. I have found no collective commonality amongst woke, quote unquote, white people, except their proximity to blackness. And because of that, I don't think it can be considered a generational thing.
It's interesting. There was an article, I think I tweeted it and shared it, that was espousing essentially, like, you know, if you're not asked as a white person to be there, fucking go away. If you're not needed as a body or this or that, don't just show up with a sign, you know. And I've showed up with a sign. Like, I've done that. And there are, I think, times when numbers and people and you're at, you know, specifically.
A lot of times that's
frequently,
true.
Frequently. But the individual was of a an opinion that I'm not going to disavow, right? That's their opinion. That the work for white folk is so specifically with other white folk and other white communities that, like, we shouldn't be any fucking where near. Like you said, that the cachet currently for white folk, or I should say anti-racist white folk, is proximity to blackness, proximity to black action, replication of black actions, replication of black activities. You know, there isn't really any original, and you're right, there's no cohesive, right? There's even the, you know, I think Surge is a big group of white folk. They're
probably the largest.
But they're loosely collected. There isn't even a, like, if you're a Surge chapter, there's no requirement that you do A, B, or C. There's just nothing at all. Right. You're a Surge chapter.
Well, I think that there's a level of commitment required to have the kind of cohesiveness that you're talking about. And I don't think most places have people that are committed to that.
You know, but the cohesiveness could be, it doesn't have, I suppose. I'm not going to argue with you.
That's what I think. I could be wrong. I'm just telling you my thoughts on that. Mm. All right, well, anyways, let's get going.
The news is coming on. The news is coming on.
We miss you, ZZ. So I'm just going to read the headline because I knew this was going to happen. An Iowa football player's Pokemon Go game ends with four police guns pointed at his face.
Of course it did.
Yeah, so again, I just had to read the headline and knew it was going to happen. But Faith Ekakati, a defensive end for the University of Iowa, described in harrowing detail an encounter he had with police as he played Pokemon Go in Iowa City Park last week. His story is sobering as it is ended not in tragedy, but with him thanking the police. Today was the first time I've truly feared for my life, 23-year-old senior said Wednesday, and I have the media to thank for that. The 6'3", 290-pounder wrote that he was happy to be alive after five police officers stopped him and pointed four guns at him because he fit the description of a man who had just robbed a bank. Just read between those fucking lines, dude. Every fucking time, fit the description. Just, I feel like that's a blanket fucking, like, that's the beginning. Like, it starts with fit the description, then it fucking is like, stop resisting, then it's reach for my gun, and then it's feared for my life. Literally, just 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's just so ridiculous. And that's why this individual should be happy to be alive. Who just robbed a bank. At the time when police shootings of black men are under scrutiny, he described the encounter from a perspective and tried to look at it through the eyes of the police, too. I don't want to read this from the Washington Post.
No.
I really don't.
I'll read you what he says. He says, in the situation, what the media would fail to let people know is that the suspect, quote unquote, had his headphones in the entire time the police officers initially approached him. The suspect had actually just pulled up to the park because he was playing a newly popular game called Pokemon Go. The suspect didn't realize that there were four cops behind him because his music was blaring in his ears. The suspect had reached into his pockets for something, which was his phone, but for all the cops could have known, he was reaching for a gun. The suspect could very well become another statistic on this day. I'm not one to usually rant on Facebook or anywhere else, but with all of the crazy things that have been happening in our world these past couple of weeks, it's still hard to be silent. I'm thankful to be alive, and I do not realize that it was It could very well have been me, a friend of mine, your brother, my cousin, your nephew, etc. Misunderstandings happen all the time, and just like that, things can go south very quickly. It is extremely sad that our society has brainwashed us all to the point where we can't feel safe being approached by the police officers in our respective communities. Not all police officers are out to get you. At the same time, not all people who fit a criminal profile are criminals.
You know, and I have to take a little bit of umbrage with misunderstandings happen all the time. You know, I suppose that they do, but in most instances, they're not framed by implicit bias and end with death. Just, you know, misunderstandings do happen. But, you know, this is a little bit different when it ends in death and they're framed by, you know, ridiculous implicit bias.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't say I knew that shit was going to happen, but like, I fucking just knew that shit was going to happen. So tell me you heard about fucking Hannity trying to get a goddamn sandwich at Walmart.
I did hear about this.
It was the most fucking like delicious thing I've ever goddamn
love
fucking heard.
Love it. First of all, Philly, I fucking love Philly, yo.
This is probably like the most Philliest Philly, like,
so, like,
Philly
when I heard about it, I was like, oh, I didn't even hesitate. As soon as I heard, I was like, oh, yeah, that happened. Because it sounded like something I've actually probably seen happen several times. Philly is the place where one day we were driving and a car started beeping behind you and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with this car? Like beeping. And they pulled up on the side and it was this like 90-year-old woman who felt the need to pull to the side to flip you off. You were like, sorry? That's Philly, yo.
That is so Philly, dude.
That's Philly.
Philly's just Philly. I love Philly.
I really love Philly.
So Hannity apparently got into some kerfluffle at the Wawa, and this individual, Emo Negro One, he's got some sources, say this is what really happened. They got him booed out of the Wawa. And I'm prepared to... I'll say this synopsis is so Philly and so real.
And this is exactly how it would happen.
It can't not be how it happened.
I'm just going to say, I believe it. That's what I'll say.
Right.
I'm willing to say that. I believe it.
Here goes, I'll give Emo Negro One's synopsis. Mm-hmm. Sources told me what really happened to make Sean Hannity get booed out of the Wawa, which I just fucking love. I'm here for that. You know when you usually go to a Wawa, 7-Eleven, Royal Farms, etc., nobody's really paying attention to you. Pay for your gas and go. Well, sources say Hannity came up in the Wawa, cut everybody in line, and demanded they make him a cheesesteak hoagie. Now, This Wawa is downtown Philly, so you might have a mix of business people. You might also have some crackheads and some tourists, a mix. But most people act right, according to my source, and they stand in line and wait their turn. Not Sean Hannity. Some burly, yelling white man is going to attract attention. You know what I'm saying? Get my drift. So Sean Hannity cuts everybody in line and starts demanding they fix him a cheesesteak hoagie right now. People weren't happy.
Duh.
So this black
First
guy.
First of all, that's not how it works.
Like, let's just take a pause. Like, the fucking Wawa, like, there isn't a line. Like, you put your order in a goddamn machine.
And they call a number.
You can't go. You don't go up and, like, make me a sandwich.
Make me a sandwich.
Oh, fucking, what was that dude? Fucking
Anthony Mackie. Yeah.
Make me a sandwich.
Make me a sandwich.
It doesn't work like that. You got to fucking put your order in, like, a normal fucking person. So he gets everyone in line, starts making him a sandwich, which is not at all how it works. People aren't happy. Black guy, who I think is a DNC attendee, said, the line starts back there.
Blam.
So Philly, dude.
So Philly.
Hey. The line starts back here. Hannity told him he was in a hurry, he had a very important job to get back to, and to let Taniqua fix his sandwich so he can get back to work.
Oh, hell no.
The Wawa worker's name is Ashley.
Taniqua?
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker.
Ashley. So Ashley says to Hannity, sir, my name is Ashley, and he had to order his hoagie from the computer station, and his number would be called when it's ready. Like, everybody fucking knows. Like, come on, right? So Black Guy in Line said, what you're not going to do is disrespect people up in here, and what you're not going to do is cut people in this line. That's again just like the most Philly-ness phrasing of things I've ever heard. What you're not going to do. So Hannity said, you sound like a Black Lives Matter guy. Are you a Black Lives Matter guy? Are you from Ferguson? Are you from Baltimore? And I guess that's when everybody heads turned around. Well, then he said, hey, what does Black Lives Matter have to do with you cutting in line? Hannity said, this is the culture of lawlessness the Obama and Black Lives Matter have taught you people. That's when it was on. One lady said, you people. Somebody else said, put some respect on Barack's name. Again, it's so Philly. Like, the whole crowd starts fucking, like, just fucking negging the dude.
Definitely.
And he's hollering to the manager. But sadly, the manager on duty was a black man, and he said Hannity to leave. So no white people in Wawa came to Hannity's defense either. They just all sat there and looked away. They weren't trying to have their ass beat either. So the people started booing Hannity and telling him to get the fuck out of there. And he told them, do you know who I am? I'm Sean Hannity. Well, that didn't help matters any either. Manager told Hannity he needed to leave before he called the police. And Hannity said, oh, now you people want to call the police? My sources say the manager gave Hannity a look like, you tried it. And hustled him out the door. For real, you know, the manager's like, bro, come on. You tried it, dude. You tried it. And that's the story of how Hannity got run off at the Walmart in downtown Philly.
So good. I think I tweeted or I quoted you a picture of him in the Wawa, though. Somebody had to put up there. It was funny. I was reading a bunch of stuff about it. Oh, wait a second. Sean Hannity tweeted about it, too.
Oh, no, what he said.
Hold
now.
On. Now I got to go look for it. Oh, no. Sean. I can't believe I'm typing this in.
Seriously, you're like you're going to ruin our Google search search history forever.
He says, emo one guy screaming at me as I was walking out. That's it, my friend. I ordered my meatballs and left in peace.
Uh-oh. So he's accusing this emo one guy of being a troll or something?
Says, Hannity confirms he was at Wawa and sicked his bodyguards on one guy. He says, emo one guy screaming at me as I was walking out. That's it, my friend. I ordered my meatballs and left in peace.
Oh! I'm honestly going to believe the other synopsis, you know, emo Negro one. I'm going to believe him over
Fuck Hannity. What's he?
I don't
believe him.
I don't believe it. Like I said, emo Negro one synopsis was the most Philliniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, literally, I feel like I've seen and been a part of that interaction like 7 times from Sunday in Philadelphia. Honest to God. Hannity.
Fuck that dude. Well, some good news. Black Girls Code gets $2.8 million space within Google's New York headquarters.
Nice. Our nieces went there 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think they've been several times, actually. They went last year, too. We sent them last year also in the fall. Sierra went to one, too.
They made like a fucking app or something.
Yeah, they made an app and they made a game and I don't know what the other
That's
thing
crazy.
They made. It's crazy. Anyways, which aims of connecting young girls directly with the tech industry. We've talked about Black Girls Code plenty of times, but it's pretty awesome. We need a tech sector that looks like the society it serves. And so the aim is... of giving the organization its own space next to Google is to shorten the time between a young black girl starting to learn to code to them landing a job in the tech sector.
You know, and I don't know the answer to this. I feel like the paucity of black women in the tech sector should make a black woman able to have maybe like, I don't say like, more opportunity, but maybe like that means less. Like it's just such a closed fucking boys network that they're not even gonna. Just like you'd like
it's the, so closed. Like, and what happens the is twice their, as project, good half their is, projects get pigeonholed as black projects, and so they don't get funding. They don't get support. You should. I suggest anybody do if you do hashtag WOC in tech chat, women of color tech chat. It's a really amazing chat that happens. I think it's once a week, but they have all sorts of really amazing conversations around that hashtag and that Twitter account, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's got to be, like I said, the twice as good to get half as far and maybe even more so in that sector. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. This other thing tickled me when I saw it. These boys were banned from wearing shorts at school, so they just wore skirts instead. When a group of boys were excluded from school for wearing PE shorts to class on one of the hottest days of the year, they took matters into their own hands. The boys were excluded from Long Hill High School in Brighton, this is in the UK, for turning up in their school-branded sports shorts despite the 33 degree heat. That'd be Celsius.
Oh my god, that's like, is that 100 degrees?
It's
that's
very hot. They were sent to isolation, made to go home and change, but rather than giving in and wearing their long trousers, the boys took matters into their own hands and used a gender neutral uniform policy to cool off. The group of teenage boys, they give their names, all 14 turned up the next day in skirts, which are an approved part of the uniform for any student. Speaking to the Metro, Parker's mother Angela said on Tuesday, the hottest day of the year so far, several of the boys went into school in regulation PS shorts with a school logo on. They were told to go home and put on trousers and told that they were not allowed to wear shorts, even though the girls are allowed to wear short skirts with bare legs and stays cool. And so they wore them to school and it was fine.
I feel like I've heard that generationally a couple times before.
Yeah. I mean, skirts are nice. I can't lie.
You know,
so are dresses.
I'll say this. I've worn skirts before. Mm-hmm. You know, like my hippie days.
Yes.
I was fond of a skirt. And I might wear skirts again. I'm comfortable enough. And
you should wear a kilt.
Well, I don't know how appropriate it is, but like for me, I like a skirt that's got like a little bit of length. You know, it comes maybe towards the knees.
Yeah.
But commando.
Commando. Yeah. Then you can't do the kilt.
Kilt's a little shorter.
And kilts are like they're pretty open.
Yeah, you probably have to wear something.
Yeah.
Some skivvies.
Something.
A patch?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. A pasty. Here's another one. I read the headline. I said, you know what? I know that to be true and don't have to read much beyond that. But 25 Fox News employees come forward. 25. That was not 1, 2, 3, but 25 Fox News employees have come forward with details about forced dates and demands for oral sex.
So this is since Gretchen Carlson had her big, like, oh, I was sexually harassed, come out.
Yeah, so she had a big, out. I guess, I'll read the article. Gretchen Carlson's opened a floodgate. More than 24 women now are formerly employed by Fox News have come forward to tell sordid tales of depraved atmosphere Roger Ailes has cultivated at the network. The pervy infestation of Fox has brewed for 2 decades. Men at the top who once said he liked having women on their knees created a culture where you get stories like this. In order to advance at work, the name redacted, were told they must perform sexual favors. Women said they were subject to constant harassment, crude remarks, and denigration of their gender by male staff at all levels. Because they cultivated that atmosphere. Managers attempted to coerce junior employees into going on dates with men higher up in the company. Woman said that in 2009, she walked into an office she thought was empty only to find a male senior manager receiving oral sex from a younger female staffer. This is way beyond just one individual. It's happening at all levels. Looking back, it shouldn't have been all that surprising. Anyone who watches Fox for more than a few minutes can see how they objectify women on air. The female anchors all have a certain, shall we say, look, as Brian Kilmeade once have joked. We go into the Victoria's Secret catalog and we said, can any of these people talk?
That's wow.
Then there's this questionable news segments, like ones in which we were just an excuse to ogle women, like, and they link to a bunch. One actually tried to justify catcalling, or one proving that women can't drive. These are just to name a few. There's the infamous no pants rule and the requirements that female personalities, even female guests, plaster a ton of makeup that one guest called the Fox Glam.
Yeah.
There you are, a renowned expert on nuclear proliferation, immigration policy, Middle East, and you're obligated to regard yourself in the mirror and ask, I really go on national television looking like a cross between Captain Jack Sparrow and a waitress from Hooters.
Nuclear expert.
It was only recently that we learned how sick the network really is. Most of it just laugh at how backwards they were for putting their special brand of sexism. Only now do we realize it hid something far more sinister. Many women there have endured a personal hell I wouldn't wish on anyone. I don't care what your ideology is. One former Fox personality said, I'm throwing away her non-disclosure agreement on the settlement she received after being fired by Ailes because she felt emboldened by Carlson's lawsuit. Rudy Beck Attire told the Times about her then supervisor, Fox News Washington Bureau Chief Brian Wilson. In 2007, Wilson dangled the possibility of a promotion in front of Bechtier, and when she said she'd excited to take the job, he reportedly told her, I'd like to see the inside of your hotel room. He said that he wanted them to have friends with benefits relationship. Bechtier declined and says that immediately her career at the company went into a free fall. Appearances were canceled, and she was attempted to address the issue with other executives. Other executives was told to go to human resources. Within weeks, she was fired. Ailes told her that it was for performance-related reasons.
Well, that reminds me of what happened with Fitzgibbons Media earlier at the end of last year.
Yeah, that's like a huge
Trevor
scandal.
Fitzgibbons, yeah. Same thing. And it was like all these women were like, yeah,
at every level,
he's been fucking around
for
years and years. And then, of course, that brings me to the situation at Emma Willard and the same, you know, institutional, cultural, acceptance of these horrible, you know, rape culture and exploitative
it's
attitudes.
And it's I don't say it's different, but there's like, you know, there's something about the way Fox and with Emma and just, you know, it's more than pervasive and pernicious. It's like having your eyes wide open. You know, it's almost like with Supremacy, you can feign some kind of ignorance, but then there's some folks that are like, oh, I get it. I totally get it. And I like it. You know what I'm saying? And like, and I'm going to do some dirty. Like, I feel like that's what this is. You know, Fox is like, oh yeah, we can do this. We can do that. I like it.
Yeah.
And just the whole fucking top-down culture, gross. I felt, and you can, like I said, you can see it in the stories, you can see the articles.
Oh, absolutely.
I just wish Fox would just go away.
Good luck.
I know. So we had like four different headlines. We're like, all you gotta do is read the headline. I'm like, I could just leave it at that and be like, yeah, put a little bow in it, done. White people think racism is getting worse against white people. And I'm going to be real clear that there is no such thing as racism against white people. I'm going to be really fucking clear. Reverse racism does not exist. You can go look at my friend Ahmed Rahman, who's got a great little funny bit about why reverse racism is not a fucking thing. He's a comedian. It'll get through to your head. You'll get it. But like, trust me, you're a white person. You can be oppressed. You can have bad things happen to you. You can be poor. You can have all kinds of shitty experiences. You can have trauma. You can have people be bigoted towards you. You can have people be prejudiced against you for all kinds of things, including you being white. That's a possibility. It ain't fucking racism. So just fucking shut it up. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So research found that whites think anti-white bias is more of a problem than anti-black bias. Of course it is. Of course it is. How do Americans think about the role of race in our country's daily life? News reports, social media, and uncomfortable conversations around the dinner table often point to one conclusion. They disagree. Mm-mm. Many white Americans believe that the United States has entered a post-racial phase. Many black Americans believe that race is as salient an issue as ever. Recent polling identifies one area, though, where black and white Americans show remarkable convergence. They believe that race relations have gotten worse. Asked in a Washington Post news poll released this past week whether race relations in the United States are generally good or bad, 72% of black respondents said bad, as did 63% of whites. That's an increase for white folks. You know what that means is y'all are working. It's successful. Congratulations, Black Lives Matter. For real. It's like empirical data. Like, it went from like 40-something to like 63% think that it's getting worse. Like, sweet. Like, that means that change might actually happen at some point. Because if they don't think it's bad, nothing will happen.
Right.
Purported agreement obscures the fact that black and white Americans see the issues related to race very differently. 1 week after widely publicized fatal police shooting of a black man in Louisiana, a day after a gunman killed five officers in Dallas, 75% of black individuals surveyed by the Times and CBS reported thinking that police are more likely to use deadly force against a black civilian than a white. Only 36% of whites thought that.
Wow.
Fucking say that again, dude. In a fucking survey, only 36% of white people thought that a police officer was more likely to use deadly force against a black citizen. How is it only 36%? How the fuck is that only 36%? How the fuck is that only 36%? And then the research goes on to say that another difference is whites now think that bias against white people is more of a problem than bias against black people.
Like, what bias, though? What's happening to them?
Being called racist.
That's this egregious.
It literally is. You didn't know
like, that? Horrible
being
thing.
Being called racist is now worse than actual systemic racism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 407.
Because there's so many consequences to that.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. I won't even go through with the whole article, but it's just, it doesn't surprise me.
People.
Yeah. In fact, this isn't under that segment, but where's my. Wait.
God damn it. Fucking white people.
Indeed.
They think it's getting worse against white people?
I don't. Don't worry about it. So this week in hashtags. I wanted to just revisit Love for Leslie J because Leslie is back on the Twitter. So you can follow her again at Les Dog and definitely do.
That's two
so
G's.
Welcome back, 2 G's, that's right. And also MLK sit-in is moving ahead, gangbusters, tunneling to Sunday. So check that out.
Are we allowed to say how many events we have? Publicly? Did I just make a word? How many publicly events do we have?
I think there's like 30 as of right now, and there's a lot more being added by tomorrow. So,
publicly more.
Check it out. And lastly, one that I came across I thought was really funny was post yourself as a GIF. I say GIF still, so fuck it. Post yourself as a GIF. GIF.
Are you supposed to say GIF? I know that the dude that invented it wanted to be GIF. It's a GIF.
Yeah.
Fine, it's GIF, dude. Get it up.
And that's really funny. Just people posting funny GIFs that say theirs. I put up was Tamar Braxton saying, she won.
Nice.
Uh huh. Yep.
My jingle pal's broken.
Well, we did want to talk about the, I guess, the DNC.
Yeah, I was trying to get my, hold on.
What are you trying to do?
Because we had, there's still Trump bullshit, dude.
Oh, yeah, that was there?
Yeah, dude.
I didn't know that was Trump bullshit, too.
Dominoes, eat me.
It's just so stupid. But so the DNC email hack, there's definitely good evidence that Guccifer and now WikiLeaks release of the documents has some sort of hand from Russia.
Well, I saw today he tweeted, he asked Russia to if they could do anything to find Hillary's missing emails. He would be internally grateful. He tweeted that today.
See, this is ridiculous, dude. When I say it's ridiculous, like, you know, Trump's running, and I forget the billionaire that started it, but he asked this dude for money. And the dude's like, you know, I don't want to give him money. So I, as an excuse in not wanting to give Trump money, I pivoted and said, you know, you should just use your own money and get from other people. It'll be much better. You'll be more of a man of the people. And Trump, like, ran with it. So he hasn't been, I would say, getting traditional financing. And that leaves him open to, like, non-traditional financing, like sovereign states like Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not definitely saying that some fucking horseshit's going on, but the hack, the stuff, it's a little sketchy. But even more sketchy, dude, there was a bill, so there's language in some resolutions, I guess, that we have regarding, like, different countries and, like, armaments and, like, what we can, like, I don't know what kind of fucking weapons we can sell them. Like, right. Literally, there's, like, resolutions that, like, each side have.
Right.
So the Trump campaign has been working behind the scenes to make sure the new Republican platform won't call for giving weapons to the Ukraine to fight Russian rebel forces, contradicting the view of almost all Republican foreign policy leaders in Washington. Okay? Trump campaign's working behind the scenes to contradict virtually every GOP foreign policy leader in the state. So throughout the campaign, Trump's been dismissive of calls for supporting the Ukraine government fights on ongoing Russian-led intervention. Trump's campaign chairman, listen to this, Trump's campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, worked as a lobbyist for the Russian-backed former Ukrainian president, Viktor Yanukovych, for more than a decade. Okay? That's his, like, chairman of his, like, campaign, right? So Republican delegates at last week's National Security Committee platform, and this is maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'm reading an article, in Cleveland, were surprised when the Trump campaign orchestrated a set of events to make sure the GOP would not pledge to give the Ukraine the weapons it had been asking for from the United States. Inside the meeting, Diana Denneman, a platform committee member from Texas who was a Ted Cruz supporter, proposed an amendment that would call for maintaining or increasing sanctions against Russia and increasing aid to Ukraine. So this is what Trump doesn't want, right? They want to give more weapons to Ukraine, and Trump's like, no, they don't want to do that. So they have the little blah, 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 blah. Trump staffers in the room who are not delegates but are there to oversee the process. Listen to that. In the room where it happens, right? In the room where it happens. Trump staffers in the room, not delegates, but are there to oversee the process, intervened. And working with pro-Trump delegates, were able to get the issue tabled while they devised a method to roll back the language. On the sideline, Denman tried to... Literally, I swear to God. Denman tried to then persuade the Trump staffers not to change the language, but failed. And then there's a little bit that goes on, this and that. But in the end, they literally voted and changed the language. Literally, like,
wow.
Trump staffers who weren't even fucking delegates in the room where it happens. And so you tell me, like, I don't know. Is it, are they interfering? Is it shady? I don't know. But, like, a literal, like, in contradiction to every fucking GOP political foreign policy analyst in the state of Washington, Washington, D.C., they changed the language on a, like, I don't have a bill, but just on their stance on the Ukraine to not give deadly weapons to fight Russian rebels. And that's just fucking, like, it's not even like, no one's talking about it. It's just a little thing that happened. This just happened. You know, we just changed this language. And that's how you do it. Little language change here, roll back there, roll back there. How did this happen? I don't know.
Wow.
It's fucking crazy, dude. They had that Heil Hitler fucking pose with fucking Trump and who is it? The one blonde chick?
I don't know who she was. Who was she anyways?
That just was the most creepy fucking AD photo.
She must have been some sort of, like, elected official, I figured. Well, I don't know who the fuck she was, but she looked mighty Nazi-ish.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the DNC's email scandal?
No, because it's stupid. But I did want to talk about the fact that Ijeoma has been drunk tweeting the DNC for the establishment.
I love it, dude.
And it's been really hilarious.
You know, I won't say a lot about the DNC, but some of the emails that people have been saying are scandalous, to me read like, okay, so the Democratic National Committee maybe colluded to work with the Democrat that was running.
Right.
Not the socialist, but the Democrat. I'm not saying Bernie wasn't a Democrat, but he kind of wasn't. He didn't want to be a Democrat. You can't be mad about the Democratic Committee wanting to work with the Democrat, I guess.
Yeah, I just think it's stupid. I don't understand.
Anyway, so Ijeoma was drunk tweeting for the at the DNC?
No, she's watching it, and then she's drunk and she's tweeting it.
All right, you got some choice selections? Because I love Miss Aluo.
I know you do. Well, she just talks about everybody. So she says, look, I'm sorry, Cory Booker. I'm sorry for objectifying you like this on Twitter. I'll try to do better. So she wrote, Cory Booker for president of my body. I love Cory Booker's head. It's so round. He has that ridge in the back like Gary Payton. Is he tall? I feel like he's tall.
I think Cory's 6 foot. I think he got some height.
I've met Cory Booker.
He's a state senator now, isn't he?
Yeah, I met Cory Booker, and he's pretty tall. Yeah, I mean, he's not as tall as you, but he's tall. Mm-hmm. This is where my 8-year-old came running into my room to see why I was screaming, Michelle! How great would it be if Michelle just copied Melania's speech?
That you and I said that. She should have had a dig. She could have been I start reading it and be like, oh, but you guys heard that 8 years ago or 8 days ago.
She says, I will do anything Michelle tells me to do anything. You guys, I just love Michelle so much. I almost believe what she's saying about Hillary. But for real, y'all, Bill, y'all saw Bill laughing and clapping like a 5-year-old at the state fair, right? Dude came to party. He said, y'all, Bill is having more fun than anybody at this convention. And they had homemade macaroons with their little thing.
Someone said it's macaron. Macaron.
Macaron, whatever. Yeah. I'll call whatever I fucking
want. Can we keep calling it macaroon?
Yeah.
I'll go with that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know what you mean then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You made macaroons. They're fucking delicious.
Yeah, she said she was low-key pissed that they would bring anybody out after Michelle.
Should have been the end. Drop the mic, literally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So don't get me wrong, I like Elizabeth Warren, but this is like having Taylor Swift follow Beyonce.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Let down.
Yes. So, anyways, check it out. She's doing it every night. Just go to the establishment. We'll have a link on the thing. You can follow her on Twitter as well.
Right on. Yeah,
but it's very funny. And the other thing that I saw was really funny was the Daily Show's been on live at each of these conventions. And at the RNC last week, they Trump's slogan, Make America Great Again, they asked the question there, when was the last time America was great?
Oh, all right. Okay. I like it. So yesterday.
That's the question that they have. Here we go.
So when was America last great?
For me, I would say the turning point for our country was 1913.
Jesus.
When we passed the 17th Amendment.
That was specific as fuck.
Back when women couldn't vote?
Yeah,
that's kind of your sweet spot right there.
Absolutely, but 1913.
What year was America great?
When it was founded.
Except for the slavery stuff.
Except for the slavery stuff, you know?
I think we were probably our strongest immediately post-World War II.
So around the 1950s?
Yeah, mid-40s, 50s.
I mean, I think the 50s was great other than, segregation and women's rights.
Look, we could sit here and paint negative faces of all times in America.
Correct.
It's make America great again. So when was the last great?
It's always been great.
If it's always been great, what are we trying to go back to?
We're not going back. We're going forward.
Well, I guess the 80s were pretty good.
Right, the
80s. Yeah, the 80s, great music, great
crack cocaine.
Games, crack cocaine.
Yeah.
Well, we're always great. The people are great.
So America is great right now. So we did it.
No, we didn't do it.
America became great when the founding fathers put pen on paper in 1776 and decided to build a country based on laws.
Right.
That was greatness.
That was awesome. Yep. Other than the slavery, obviously, that was terrible.
We did have that. Yeah, we did have that. And the Indian thing, right?
That was terrible. And the women's voting thing. But other than that, that was awesome.
A few hiccups along the way, you know. Right. Like they say, nobody made it to the top without breaking a few pieces of china. That wasn't an insult, by the way.
The guy was Chinese. Good guy.
No fucking way, dude.
Please quiet.
The guy was Chinese. No fucking way, dude. Well, actually, I don't know if he was Chinese, but he was Asian. He looked at him like...
Did you say break a piece of China?
Like, that wasn't an
you
insult.
You could have said eggs, dude. I think, why'd you say China? What the fuck, dude? I love it. And the first dude right away, 1913. Like, you had a year, like, on the tip of your tongue. 1913, when we passed the 17th Amendment. Like, wow, that's really specific.
That tickled me. I thought
1913.
I thought it was a good question. It got some good answers.
When are we great? 1913? Whoa. 1913. Jesus. Okay.
He probably had an exact October, which October, mid-October, October 15th.
I'd say October, 1913. August fucking 1st, 2014.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So we had an update on some receipts, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We did have an update on some receipts. You're fine. It's just some Taylor Swift follow-up, because I don't think we had mentioned a few things. One was that, I think we did talk about it, because I even said that how we believe TMZ when they say everything.
Yeah, but we didn't know about the criminal prosecution.
That's what I was talking about. Oh, okay. That's what they broke, was that she had tried to sue, threatened to sue Kanye back in January about these very tapes that were just released.
And that to me, I don't want to say that's so dirty. Like, it's like y'all, like, it's pretty clear you were lying, but now we have evidence that you were lying because you filed a lawsuit about these fucking tapes. So don't fucking tell me you didn't know about these fucking tapes.
Yeah.
And sit here talking like, he didn't ask me, or I sued to have these fucking tapes squelched.
Yeah,
that's dirty. It's cold. It's just, it's gross. It's, you know, it seems to me that that's somebody's gotten away with a lot of that kind of shit for a long time.
Oh yeah, she's horrible. Bye. Bye bye bye.
Did you get some tweets on that? I think you said you
I did, but we don't have to read my tweets.
No, no.
White people, I get bullied in school. I can't wait till I'm a cop so I can bully you. White people. Hey.
God damn it. Fucking white people.
Yeah, so I saw this article called This Week I Had One of My Most Disturbing Train Rides of My Life, and it changed my perspective on Black Lives Matter. It's been shared like almost 50,000 times.
Yeah.
And I was like...
I didn't share it.
Did you read it?
I did, and I did not share it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, good. I didn't know you read it.
Someone tagged me.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to talk to you about
it. Yeah, so it's, you know, I'm glad we are. I didn't know this was on here.
Oh, you didn't?
I did not. Mm. But like we talked on the podcast last week, Rain of April didn't know we were even married.
Right.
So we live kind of like separate online lives.
Sure, we definitely do.
And shit gets tagged to me, and the number of followers and audience is such that I can't just retweet anything. I have to actually read shit and look at it, and like, because people tag me with fuck ass shit, and like, you know,
yeah,
sometimes it's borderline this or that. And I'd say there's generally like, my gut's usually right with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I read this and I just it
hit me super wrong.
It didn't just hit me super wrong. I right away was like, you know, I'm really tired of white people. There's a few different issues. My first issue is like, okay, it changed your perspective. Good for you. Why do you have to fucking write about you?
Right.
And why does this have to be?
How does
all
this
about,
help anybody?
Yeah. Why are you like crowing about how great you were having this like this new like? I get you had an aha moment. You writing about it doesn't do shit. It just centers this moment on you, right?
It centers the moment on the person, and also like uses somebody else's pain
yes.
to do that.
Yes.
And that's where I have
yes.
the real problem. Yes. Like, if you want to talk about your revelation, then that's what it should be about. The story of what happened shouldn't be what your focus
so
is.
So it feels like a look at me, white savior kind of aha moment
story. It's
even
written like that.
And the way in which these get shared has just such a fucking consumptive, like, bleh. And, you know, it yeah. I read it and I was like, phew. And the other thing, not only is it doesn't do any good, but, like, I've said pretty concretely that, like, the aha moment is for an individual. It's never going to be, like, reading somebody else's aha moment. That's just not going to fucking do it.
No.
Like, reading someone else's aha moment, the fuck? Okay, whatever. Like, that doesn't do any good.
Hmm. I weep in a way I never have before. She starts to crumble. Nothing happened to you. He starts to crumble. Nothing happened to you. Why are you like
Even he, the way the person wrote it, there was a bit where they're talking about a black person that was there with the group that, you know, got kicked off the train but really wasn't with the group, and it was like, because I'm black, you know, like it just, it had just a weird,
it's just
voyeuristic,
yes, kinda, all of that,
you know. I've you know, someone called it necromancy, white consumptive, you know, I don't know, white consumptive hyperbola effect is what I've coined it.
Right.
The white consumptive hyperbole effect. And this story has that in fucking deuces, yo. Just the number of people that were sharing it, the way they were sharing it, the discussion around the way it's being shared. That's so amazing. Really? Okay.
Yeah. You know. So,
did you get paid for that story? Did you donate that money to this kid? What happened?
What happens?
What did you? Are you going to get fucking clicks and dollars from that story? Is it on your personal blog? Are you going to get hired from it? And when you get hired, are you going to ask about diversity for the place you get hired?
Nope.
Are you going to use a black intern?
Like, that's not his story to tell, and that's what I always am
It's not his fucking story to tell.
And he's telling it in such a like gratuitous way, and it's gross and disgusting. Please stop doing that. These are not your stories to tell.
There's a great, I would say, counter to this, and I forget the individual's name. I'll have to find it. He's a TV critic, and his name's Howard something or other, and he published it last maybe year, 2 years ago, and it was an incident where he was outside some sort of like place getting cheesecake or some sort of diner and bumped into somebody, you know, has some sort of like normal on the street kind of whatevers. And he fully admits in writing the story that he was in a shitty mood. He was agitated. He was irritable. He was mad. He was like, you know, on his last fucking nerve. And he snapped at this guy, and it was a black dude. And guy kind of got pushed back. There was a little bit of like, you know, what the fuck? And they're going back and forth at each other. And I guess the black guy's pointing at him, and his finger touches his chest. Just touches his chest. And he said that there was a moment that he felt, and it passed through him and the black guy, and they both felt it, and it was like fucking, oh shit. Oh fucking shit. I just touched this white guy. Literally. And they ended up getting in a fight, and he ended up fucking punching the dude, and the cops get called, and guess what? They put the handcuffs on the black guy, and they fucking ask him, and they go fucking right away, so what happened? Oh, he touched you first? He's like, no, he didn't really mean to. His finger hit me accidentally. No, he touched you first. No, but he didn't really mean to. He touched you first.
Right.
Like, literally, the police are like telling him, right? He touched you first. And fucking, you know, but he's like, I don't want to press charges. He's like, all right, we won't. We'll just take him downtown and let him go. But like, you know, he wrote the story about him, his privilege, what it all meant. He didn't talk about the fucking, and he felt bad for the black guy. He felt horrible, but he didn't talk about, I saved him, I did this or that. And I'm not saying that's a good story, but like, it certainly was like, okay, you can tell that story. That's your story to tell. You know, like, I don't know this fucking, it felt like the Sandra Bland woman, not Sandra Bland, Sandra Tui. What's the real woman's name?
Sandra Tui.
The Blind Side story.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Sandra Bullock played her in the real life.
Yeah.
So the real life woman does the same fucking shit with two black kids in her fucking restaurant and takes a picture and posts on Facebook and is like, I gave him money and a ride. And then the kids are like, no, you didn't.
We had money. Like, stop lying. Like,
yeah. It felt like
that.
He
came over being nosy, and we were like, okay, lady, go away.
Whatever.
Yeah. So the other thing that I saw was this piece about Portland, the racist history of Portland, the whitest city in America.
Mm, that does not surprise me.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's in what
Oregon.
Is it?
Oregon.
Founded as a white supremacist.
Yes, exactly. So Portland is the whitest city in America with a population that is 72.2% white and only 6.3% African American.
Six.
Mm hmm. I think that Portland has in many ways perfected neoliberal racism. Wadila Ishmarish, an African-American educator and expert on black history in Oregon, told me, yes, the city is politically progressive, she said, but its government has facilitated the dominance of whites in business, housing, and culture, and white supremacist sentiment is not uncommon in the state. She travels around Oregon teaching about black history, and she says neo-Nazis and others spewing sexually explicit comments or death threats frequently protest her events. Mm. And violence is not the only obstacle. While annual incomes for whites nationally and in Multnomah County, where Portland is located, were around $70,000 in 2009, blacks in the same county made just $34,000 a year, compared to $41,000 for blacks nationally.
That's like fucking like like 30%, like literally less than half of the white average in that town.
Mm-hmm. Almost 2/3 of black single mothers in the county with kids under 5 lived in poverty, compared to half of black single mothers with kids nationally. And just 32% of African Americans owned homes, compared to 60% of whites in the county and 45% of blacks nationally.
Yeah, it's like here in Michigan, they've institutionalized anti-blackness.
It has seeped into every piece of everything. And, you know, it is just like Michigan.
There's this notion of like, people expect and want there to be a fucking master plan. They want some individual at the top to be like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take all the black people, see, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and then we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And like, it kind of doesn't work that way. But in the same sense, like, if every fucking decision at every fucking turn benefits whiteness and white people and hoards opportunity for white men, like, the fuck do you think's going to happen?
Exactly.
Like, it's not necessarily like planned, but it sure wasn't avoided either. Like, the outcome's pretty like predetermined in my mind. Like, if all you do is fucking benefit white people, you have the 2008 economic downturn that fucking like destroys black wealth in their homes. Literally. Like, did they sit and plan that? No, not at all. But they did not plan it. Wow. they didn't try to stop it. And Portland's the same thing. Like, did they want to be this fucking like crazy fucking like really like white utopian segregated thing? Like, maybe, I don't know, but that's where they're at.
Sure is.
You know, I don't think they founding people. Actually, they did.
Yeah,
they did. Oregon did found themselves with
they
that.
Did. And, they and really you did. Can see. And so did this fucking country, quite frankly. And so did it's this not, country, quite it's not frankly. A goddamn surprise that it's like that everywhere else.
Yeah. You know, people talk about like, oh, this is so bad, I can't believe it. Like, no. It is so bad, but it's totally planned. Like, it's not, this isn't like, you know, like people are like, oh, the system's broken. No, it's working perfectly the way the system wanted to work.
Yep.
It chews up blackness and black people for like a reason. That doesn't mean it doesn't mean it's good. Don't call it broken. Like, right. You know, it's a fucking horrible system, and it's fucking got to be torn down, but it's doing exactly what it's meant to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we need a palate cleanser, though.
Yeah, all right, let me get my... This is why you produce the show, though.
Why?
People don't know this. So we have, like, people don't know, like, what goes into the John. And a lot goes in. I don't want to say, like, an awful lot, but a lot. There's notes, Google Docs, you know. There's an 102 of them. And there's, like, you know, like, things we're going to talk about, news stories and stuff. And we have a little sidebar communication within the note document at the same time. And we had the tenor and flavor of the show. And next in line was Yes All Cops. And you said, you need a palate cleanser. Skip that. And I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
We don't need no fucking cops.
Fuck all of that.
Fuck them cops.
So, this week in Lame Dark Blackness, FLOTUS herself has taken center stage. She gave an incredible speech at the DNC on night one and was just wonderful. Really. People are like, they probably should have made her go a little later because all these other speeches look like bullshit now.
Yeah, she shut that shit down.
She did, but that's actually not what I even want to talk about. She also went on carpool karaoke.
Love it.
And was so good. So they go through, they sang some Stevie Wonder, they did a whole bunch of stuff, and then Missy Elliott jumped in the car and they started doing that song that they have, that girls song. Let's Hear It for the Girls, I think it's called, or
yeah.
Something with Your Girls. This Is for My Girls, that's what it's called. So I'm gonna play it from there.
About all over the world, right?
Yeah,
100%. Everywhere. Yeah. We feel blessed to have Missy on this song.
Well, so I'm blessed to be here.
We're blessed to have you here. I really feel like, Missy, we can't have you in the car without maybe, I don't know, taking it back.
Missy be putting it down on the hottest
blast in 20 rounds. And if you wanna keep on, then come on, get me now. Is you with me now? That biggie, biggie bounce. I know you didn't know why I switch my style. Holla! People sing around. There's people gather around. There's people jump around. Go!
Come on.
That is the first fucking lady.
The first fucking lady. A biggie, biggie bounce. She knew all the words. She's so fucking dope. Oh my gosh. Anyways, I just thought it was hilarious. You guys should check out the whole thing because it's really funny and she's hilarious. She has there's a one part where they're driving past the White House. She goes, oh, and this is the Oval Office right there. That's where my husband is. James goes, is he in there right now? And she goes, he better be. That's where he said he was going to be. Fucking hilarious.
Would have been better. Let me check my iPhone.
Locator.
Loop this. You know, he's got a tent that he does communications from within.
What do you mean a tent?
Like those RF blocking, like, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. Like
when he sends from his phone and shit? Or like
I don't know if he does to like do... I don't know, but he has some sort of like Mylar, like super fucking tent deal. And there's a dude, an artist, that tells you how to make your own for your own cell phone.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it's meant to basically block the cell phone from being pinged, your location, any other information whatsoever. It's like a complete like dead box.
Got it.
Nothing gets in and out.
So yeah. I came across this other hilarious thing. I said it was hashtag Black Excellence because, well, you're here at the end, but it's actually a story that was on Snapchat. This guy caught a wild rabbit.
I just caught me a fucking wild rabbit. I saw this bitch on the side.
Hold on. I think that's a little too loud, maybe. Ooh. Turn it down a little bit.
Actually, I should turn on the headphones.
I'm going to go get it. It's so cute. I'm the fucking goat. Let's go. Called me a fucking wild rabbit. I am the fucking greatest of all time, the GOAT. I was passing by and I thought that was like a white squirrel. I thought it was like an albino squirrel because where I called him from. I saw an albino squirrel there before and I was like, that ain't no squirrel, that's a fucking rabbit. Twitter, y'all know I've been talking about getting a rabbit for the fucking longest and how bad I wanted a fucking rabbit. And to come up on at the fucking, oh my god, yo.
So I guess.
Yo, this motherfucker's so cute. Look at his dirty little face. Oh, wow. Cleaned up. I tried to, like, run after the damn rabbit, but I remember, since I had a rabbit before, you can't just run after a fucking rabbit. You ain't never gonna catch that motherfucker.
He's tried before.
I remember I had some cookies in the car, so I went to the car, got the cookies, and I lured it to him. I got close up on him with the cookies, fed him the cookies. And since I already had a rabbit, I knew how to grip the rabbit to catch him and, like, secure his ass, make sure he don't freak out and, like, squirm away. And I took the motherfucker back to the car, and then here I am at Danica's house. I got fucked tonight, but not by her, by a rabbit. Because this is a boy. And I was checking to see, and I guess I played with his PP too much, and he started pumping me. The phrase for tonight is...
You just caught a fucking rabbit.
Dude that saw me out there trying to catch that rabbit, he said, man, I've been trying to catch that rabbit forever.
There's a white guy.
And I was like, well, I caught him on the first try. Black excellence. Black History Month.
Oh,
I know if I die, I'm a rabbit catching legend. It's too late for these rabbits. I'm the greatest nigga catching.
So we don't sleep on his name. Goddamn, look at this hand. This is the hand that caught this motherfucker. God, look at that strong black hand. Goddamn.
Oh my god, it's the best story ever.
I'm a rabbit. I got him on the first try. To the day I die.
Black excellence. So funny.
He's singing fucking like...
I love him.
He had a goddamn theme song about catching rabbits.
I love him.
Fucking love
y'all
him.
Y'all know I've been wanting a motherfucking rabbit forever, so he got his rabbit. Good for you, sir.
Is that the end?
That was the end of it, yes.
Fuck, that dude's a fucking legend, dude. That's
so
goat.
Funny. So
too
funny.
Too goddamn much.
And I actually, there was a story in the New York Post. The headline caught my eye. It said, the most undervalued women in America are childless aunts.
Hey, that's you.
I know. And so this woman, Melanie Notkin, she started kind of almost, she dubbed this thing called Savvy Auntie. It's a lifestyle brand in celebration of modern aunthood. And she has coined the PANK, which is a professional aunt, no kids.
Professional aunt. No,
yes.
It sounds like Pank.
Pank. That's what I said.
P-I or P-A?
P-A.
Okay, Pank.
Pank.
Okay. You sound, it sounded like you said pink.
Not pink. Pank. Pank. Dices.
Dices.
Dices. So it says it's a generous cohort. The average Pank spends $387 on each child in her life each year, while 76% spend over $500 on each niece or nephew. The money isn't spent only on the latest cool toys or greatest travel adventures. 34% of these big-hearted aunts contribute financially to a child's education. They're also very supportive of parents. 45% have given gifts to parents to help them provide for their children.
Yeah, we give quite a bit to our nieces. We sent them to that camp. We do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, of course. So I just thought it was really interesting of it being kind of a marketing niche is what she's really kind of targeting there. And said, in other words, when childless aunts and uncles are a welcome and valued part of a family, parents are happier, as are the non-parents. The result is a double dividend. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was really interesting. Now, we saw a couple movies recently.
You know, I was thinking about the ants. Not that you're like this, but
notice me, senpai. Notice me.
What's that?
Notice me, the ants. You're not seen as much. You don't have the kids.
Oh, that's okay. I have Steven.
Yeah,
and Kanan.
He calls you Aunt Leslie.
Aunt Yessie.
He can't quite get it out.
Can't get those L's together, but he's working on it.
We're
going to
see a little boy this weekend.
I'm excited. Yes, we are Saturday.
We said it before. We call him like Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Yeah.
I know his parents don't listen to the podcast. That's okay. But he's like the fucking, like,
oh my God.
He's the embodiment of the fucking Prince of
Wales. Oh my
God. Fucking,
he looks exactly like Prince George. Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's really obscene.
Like the little fucking
the haircut.
Everything. Dude.
Oh, he's so cute. So we saw a couple movies. We saw Finding Dory, which was okay.
You know that
I was overhyped for me.
I was gonna say I'm perennially disappointed and shit.
Yeah.
But despite perennially being disappointed, I just thought so many people like, oh my God, it was so amazing.
I was like, I didn't cry.
Like, it was okay, I guess.
It was
like,
all right.
The MacGuffin was, I think, Dory feeling like, I don't know, out of place. I don't know what the MacGuffin really was, because it was kind of her getting back, but it was weird. They're usually more Disney movies, Pixar movies, the protagonists have some sort of like thing that they can generalize with a lot of people. And, you know, like Inside Out and emotions, like there's usually a thing that can be generalized to a wider audience. And the thing that was generalized here was sort of like, I don't know what, but it didn't hit me.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
I don't know what it was. Someone will have to write to me and say, like, oh, the thing is fear of this or your separation or that. I don't know what the thing was.
I think
it's
like home or something. I don't
know.
Maybe. Anyways, and then we went to see the new Star Trek movie and we hated it.
I can't lie. I thought it was boring as
fuck. It was just not good.
It just went kind of like, it felt a little bit like
I said this to you the other day, or maybe I wasn't saying it to you. They need to stop making every Star Trek movie a revenge movie. There needs to be some other driving plot point besides revenge. Every one of these new movies has been somebody getting revenge or avenging something. Every single one.
I will be avenged.
And yeah. It's been told. It's over. Like, stop. Just stop.
It felt to
it's
me.
It's not a twist. It's a predictable twist.
Yeah.
It's fucking tired and it's not interesting.
I like.
Especially given that they're sending them out to discover all sorts of things. Why would that be the only story that you choose to tell,
yeah,
JJ?
I'm with it. I like Simon Pegg's other work, you know, when he's doing his like goofy
Even there, he hits one of every
life.
Like
there's,
five
yeah, there's a
tries
shelf
at it.
And this just didn't do it for me. And I don't know. It felt a little bit. In the sense
Simon Pegg is like such white mediocrity to me. Like, he shouldn't be anywhere near as like popular as he is and successful, because he's not that talented.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. But something we did watch that we are completely obsessed with is fucking Stranger Things. We're not going to spoil anything because lots of people haven't even, it's not even on their radar yet.
Yeah, we're leaving the last two episodes ourselves.
If you haven't started it, it's on Netflix. It's called Stranger Things. It's set in the 80s. It's kind of, I've been describing it as like the Goonies multiplied by Stephen King's It divided by Poltergeist. Like, it's got all of these like kind of cool, and that's not, none of the plots of those movies are involved, but more the feeling of them is what I'm trying to get at. You know, it's got it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit adventure. It's a little bit, you know, there's kids involved. It's really good though.
There's a sense to the production that's almost it's like
nostalgic.
A, yeah, but there's like, you're right. But the thing that, you know, like a patina can change a movie,
sure.
Right? Like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Right.
There's a film has a patina that's like, okay, that changes a lot of things, directorial, everything. And this production has not a patina, but it has a sense and a sensibility and a feel that's that I really like a lot. Like, I call it like almost like Ready Player One a little bit. Like, there's just a, I don't know, a je ne sais quoi. From the fonts they use to the music in the beginning to the shots they choose to the main characters, the, you know, just everything all about it has a feel that I really like.
Right.
And it's not scary. It's not uber, like, frightening. But it is tense. It's taut.
Mm-hmm.
But I dig it. I think it's really, really good.
Absolutely. So.
Some buttons.
That's it, though, right, I think?
Yeah, I don't think there's really much
else. What else do you have? This is going to be a quick show. We're super busy, but I was so excited to get to podcast
together. Yeah, I'm just glad we get to have some podcast time. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
We've been traveling so much.
Yes. We're back, though. Yeah. We've been getting in. We only skipped 1 week. We've been doing pretty good.
Yeah. You're working a lot, though.
Am I?
Yeah. MLK sit-ins coming up. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's been a big thing on my plate. Yeah. It's true.
This other thing with your alma mater is getting bigger by the day.
Lord have mercy. I'm just at a point of just reaching my, I don't know.
You know, and I know sometimes like we talk about like white people and this and that. And I'm not trying to like be like, you know, mean to white women, but organizing a group of white women might be the like, whew.
There's just no,
that's
like,
tough.
The ego thing is so beyond. And I'm so used to working with like amazing black women who don't have any of that in space. Or if they do, it's like immediately acknowledged and, you know, discussed openly and not from a place of arrogance. And it's just, it's fucking tiring. I'm just sick of even dealing with it because it's not even the thing I'm there to deal with.
Yeah.
And that's what's been the most like frustrating.
When you said to me that you're like, well, I knew this was coming. I was waiting for this to come. I was trying to, you know, I knew it was going to come here, there, and it's just a matter of time. And I was like, fuck, that's just so frustrating. Yeah. Like seeing the fucking bullshit build and come and just, and then the pivoting and the moving of the goalposts and the changing of the fucking, you know, first it's tone policing and then it's this and then it's that. And now we're gaslighting. It's just fucking like, ugh.
It's just always fucking something.
Well, and I feel bad. I wish there was more that I could do. And in some places and spaces, there's, you know, things I can do and support I can give you. Here, all I can do is commiserate and rub your back.
Yes, I'll take it though. So thanks for that. I think that's it. I think we're gonna have some guests coming up, so be on the lookout for more info on that.
Oh yeah, who's coming up?
I can't talk about it right now.
Oh, we can't.
I'm just giving a little preview. Like, oh, there'll be people coming on.
Okay.
It'll be just us in a few weeks. We're gonna get August lined up pretty good. So be on the lookout. We'll announce it next episode. I'll have everything set up.
All right. I like it.
Yeah. Sing, children.
I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets. Sing, children. I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets. I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets.
Fragile. Very
fragile. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
He's fragile. Very fragile.
Shit.
Good night, everybody.
High five.